in the mod transition and spin liquids. So, please.
Thank you, Professor Brent. I'd like to thank him for giving me this chance to be here. I'd like to show you our recent results on the organics, the physics of organics. And if I can convince you that the organics is another materials, another kind of materials of strongly collected electrons. And yesterday, as Professor Barents introduced, that I showed some results on the organics with quarter-filled band systems, where the charge ordering is a subject, hot subjects, and then the ordering or glassy glasses are competing in the quarter-filled band systems. In these materials, electron correlations is a driving force for this phenomena. Today, I'd like to show you the physics of the half-filled band systems in organics. And in this filled systems, the fundamental physics is mode transitions, namely the electron is localized or the localized. And using the organics, we can control precisely the boundaries and the symmetry of the lattice. So many fundamental aspects of the mode transitions can be revealed using this material. So the title, by these titles, I'd like to focus on two topics in mode transitions in organics. And first one is the criticality of the mode transitions. And second one is the spin liquid state, which is possibly realized in organics with triangular lattice. And these are collaborators, my research associate Miyagawa and graduate students are Kagawa, Shimizu, Kurosaki, Ito, and collaborators from other universities, Kyoto universities, and Hokkaido universities. And this is the outline of my talk. First, I'd like to show you the a bit about the introduction and the structure of the materials, which is the kappa ET2X. This is the abbreviation of the materials. And this materials is a model system of anisotropic triangular lattice characterized by two kinds of transfer integrals, T and T prime. Then, we pursued the mode transitions using this family of materials. And I show you the many systems belonging these families are insulators or metals, and they are understood in terms of the mode transitions. And we adopt our specific materials, and we pick up the specific materials with the anisotropy of T prime over T equal 0.75, and by pressure experiments, we succeeded in pursuing the criticality of the mode transitions.
So you can control the ratio of T prime over T?
T prime over T. Oh, sorry.
You can change that by changing.
By pressure, but in this case, the ratio is not controlled. Only maybe ratio is kept, and the value of the bandwidth is controlled in this case. But if in future, we can maybe because of the uniaxial pressure application. Then, the other materials are available with different T prime over T. And so T prime over T is controlled by the chemical replacement of materials. And, okay.
So what's the range you
can? Ah, okay. I'd like to show you the next in the next graph. Maybe 0.5 to 1.1. Yeah. And some materials has nearly unity value in T prime of T. So isotopic, nearly isotopic triangle lattice. And we measured the magnetism down to 30 millikelvins and then no magnetic gold ring. So I show you the some experimental data suggesting the possible spin like state. Yeah. And finally, we applied pressure to these materials, and we found that this spin-legged motor insulator is compared to the foam-legged. And then at low temperatures, superconductivity appears. And this is a recent result.
So this material, kappa 82x,
yes.
Which axis are we on?
The x is different.
Only x is different.
Only x is different. This material and this material, x is different. The first introduction, ET is abbreviation of the name of this molecule. There's 8 sulfur atoms here, and at the corners, the carbon atoms are located. And anyway, this molecule is a planar molecule like this. And this may be 10 angstrom or so in the long axis. And this ET molecule forms one monolayers, and one ET molecule here. Very complicated bigelows, and this is one ET molecule, and next ET molecules, and ET molecules, and one monolayer. And this arrangement of the ET molecules in a two-dimensional manner. So this one monolayer is perpendicular to the screen, extended to these directions. So two-dimensional. Connectivity is expected. In reality, the connectivity is high in this plane, within the planes. And this the X, another kind of anions, X, also forms one atomic monolayer here. And X, the valency of X is, in many cases, minus one. And it forms a closed shell. And so no contribution to the magnetism and ethnic conductions. So conductivity is worse in these directions. The ratio of the conductivity in this direction, two in this direction, is about 10 to the 3 or 4, in some cases 10 to the 6. Very anisotropic, two-dimensional conducting materials.
How do kappa differs from the zeta?
Theta, kappa, okay, next to people. This is a kappa. By this Greek character, we can distinguish the pattern of the molecules. And yesterday I showed the theta ET2x. And in the case of theta, the molecule of molecular arrangement is like this, in uniform, and then next uniform zigzag patterns. By kappa, we mean such a kind of molecules. And the ET molecule is, the long axis is perpendicular to the screens, yeah? So the packing is, please imagine like this. And ET molecule forms a dimer here. And the dimer here, dimer. So this ET dimer forms a kind of the checkerboard pattern within the planes. This is a in-plane structure.
What is the red spot in the middle?
Oh, this is a, please neglect that. no, doesn't mean anything, yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't see, so dimer is supposed to be two of those.
Yes, this one, dimer.
Okay.
Dimer.
Dimer is from the triangle line.
Yes, so this is a dimer. And the transfer integrals, quantum chemical calculations yields the transfer integrals between the molecules, different molecules, and transfer integrals here. So according to these calculations, the intra-dimer transfer integrals, yeah, intra-dimer transfer integrals is quite large compared with the other transfer integrals. So you can regard this dimer as a kind of the supermolecule, okay? And once if you regard this dimer as a supermolecule, and this molecular arrangement is modeled to the anisotropic triangular lattice of the dimer. Okay. Then this is modeled as an anisotropic to the anisotropic triangular lattice with two kinds of transfer integrals, T and T prime, T here and T prime here. And your question here, it's depending on T prime over T depends on the X, because the X, depending on X, is this molecular arrangement is slightly different, and the lattice parameter is also changed. So this is valid in this range. And some materials should have a 1.1, maybe. But and then in future study, we plan to apply the uniaxial pressures here on here. So we expect to vary outside of this range.
So this number is all dependent from quantum mechanical calculation.
Yes, yes, only that. Yes.
This is very nice, actually, 10^4, 10^6.
Yes.
Is that a statement for the case when the intralayer behavior is actually metallic, or is that?
Yes. It depends on materials, and some materials are molten slider, and some materials are metallic.
So what's the anisotropy of C versus AB when the intralayer is metallic?
Intralayer is metallic, yes, in the metallic systems.
What's the number for
rho C versus rho AB when?
A ratio 10^4.
That's 10^4. Metallic sample.
Yeah. Ah, metallic sample, and your question is. Insulating?
No,
metallic sample. Yes. But in the insulating modern insulators, this system is on the border of the mode transitions. So, for example, later I'd like to show you some materials, mode insulating materials. But at room temperatures, even at room temperatures, resistivity is not so high. In this case, the resistivity ratio is also 10^4, 10^3. So the resistivity ratio is not different between the metallic states or modern insulators states.
Is there any empirical support for the statement that you can model it as roughly a one-band thing with three triangles?
Yeah, this is a simple model.
Is there any empirical support that such a simple model?
For example, the empirical model. For example, you're saying that this dimer model is appropriate or not, or
yeah.
Additional
maybe some other orbits
Other orbits. Other orbits means maybe the point is like this. Within the dimer, the ET. Level, molecular level here, ET, and ET, usually the degenerate because of the same molecules. And due to the intra-dimer transfer intervals, these two orbitals are spread to the bonding orbitals and the antibonding orbitals here. And this spreading is evaluated from the quantum chemical calculation along 0.6 electron volt, and the bandwidth says maybe 0.3 electron volt or so. So, and the bond structure calculations are this is the dimer bond here, upper bond and lower bonds, and the bond structure calculation shows that there is a gap in the two bands. And then, I'd like to say, I have to say that the charge number, carrier numbers. Carrier number is that the valency of X is -1. So one hole is introduced to twice of ET. So one hole here, in this ET dimer cases. So if the gap, band gap is opened between the bonding band and antibonding band, this antibonding band is should be half filled. This is the heart of these materials. Your question is maybe this band, if this band and this band is not separated, the band filling should be quarter, and such a orbital degeneracy should be important. I don't have evidence that experimental evidence that this spreading occurs. But in some but some collaboration or not evidence, some supporting evidence is there is a motor insulators. If the band filling is colder, maybe no, motor insulator should not exist. And also the band structure calculation gives some film surfaces. That was clearly evidenced by the Hoffman experiments. Very nice agreement. But strictly speaking, the band gap opening is a separate issues from the band structure calculation. So I have to say we have any other experimental results supporting only the upper bound is responsible for this conduction. But many experimental data suggest that this picture of the only one band on the diamonds is important.
It's not possible to look at interband transitions right. optically?
Yeah,
optically, yeah. Yes. Yes. That's the answer, yeah.
Even though probably one should say that there is absolutely no experimental fact about these materials that contradict the Hoffman band picture. Do you agree with that?
I don't know.
I don't see it.
It also looks extremely reasonable when you think where the orbitals are in this molecule.
A film surface is
consistent.
No, essentially one bond. But the unit cell contains a.
Although this is an exotic program,
it's a partial consistency.
Film surface is a circular, simple film surface. But the unit cell contains several molecules, so Brillouin zone is folded. So superficially complicated, but essentially the circle, simple circle film surface.
Another question, how big a gap just in one ET molecule to the next?
This one? One electron volt or two electron volt.
Two electron volt.
Yeah.
And that's... So, structure or calculations, or
no contributions, maybe. The calculation was by the quantum chemical calculation, molecular orbital calculations, and in a single molecules, and then HOMO, LUMO, and second HOMO, second LUMO, and the separation is maybe 1.5 or 2 electron volt. I don't know. I don't remember the. Exactly, but the very lowest level, so you can neglect this orbital, molecular orbital, and the LUMO orbitals.
Yeah,
and depending on the anion X, the bandwidth is controlled. So U over T. Is varied. This is also a very rough estimate of some simple model based on the quantum chemical calculations, U over T. Anyway, the U over T is varied depending on the anions, because the anion X expands the ET lattice or shrinks ET lattice or and varies. And T prime over T, which is also all deduced from the quantum chemical calculation, is different. Some materials. I attached these materials. This material has a nearly isotropic triangular lattice, and some material is anisotropy is appreciable, 0.75 ion. It depends on the anionics. And this is the experimentally determined ground state. And these two materials is a molar insulator and then insulator. And these materials with relatively small U over T is a metal and superconductivity appears at low temperatures.
So this U is outside the interaction of a dimer?
Yeah, dimer U.
Dimer U.
I mean that dimer U means.
Yeah.
Okay. In this case, the T and TD means the intra-dimer transfer intervals. And in within the dimers, the bonding band is stabilized by the energy of the TD. And this U is simply twice of TD. Because the a kind of a Heitel-London calculation, so if one electron is located here, one particle here, and energies are here. And the next dimer is also this electron here. But two electrons are located on these dimers. If the single U or in a single ET is large, which is also calculated by quantum mechanical calculations, in this case, the second electron cannot occupy here some. A kind of a Heitel-London state is expected. This is assumptions. And in this case, the energy increases twice of TD. But the strict calculation is also available on the Hubbard model of the hydrogen molecules. In this case, this E, in the limit of large E UET, the on-dimer U, so effective U of the DD hydrogen molecules is given by twice of TD. So this is a rough estimation. So it is not so accurate. But important point is this relative change is may make some sense, I think.
I think there's another energy that so you can put a spin-up, spin-down hole on the upper band.
Yeah.
On the top.
Mm-hmm.
So that one would cost more energy than putting the two
hole
on the two
sides. This is an electron picture, so maybe they converted the whole picture.
What I can say is that on average, there's a one hole.
One hole, yeah.
Located on a top level.
Yeah, yeah.
If you introduce another hole on the top level,
yeah.
What is that energy? With two holes on
the
top level.
Well, the
same. One hole. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Same. Yeah. Hole here.
Then
the symmetry. Yes. So this is experimental determined ground state. Here is the experimental data or the picture of the collection of the resistivity data as a function of temperature. You see the variation of the electronic properties, the metallic states, and the superconductivity appears here, and some materials in insulating. So this variation is naturally understood.
In plane
resistivity. It's the concept of mode transition. And this two behavior is around the materials around the mode boundary. So we can precisely tune the U over W by isotope substitution. Usually, isotope substitution does not contribute to the electronic properties. For example, the small TC variation of the superconducting isotope effect. But in this case, by isotope substitutions, metal insulated transition occurs because the material is just on near the mode transitions. So by substitution, isotope substitution of the molecules, the molecular shape and molecular arrangement is changed slightly, but enough to drive the systems into the insulating states, multi-insulating states, crossing states. So this is the variation of the electronic properties as a function of the number of the deuteration in the molecules. D00 means no deuterations of molecules. ET molecule is, as I shown yesterday, previously, this is half asymmetrical, and in the picture, hydrogen is drawn, but four hydrogens are located on both sides. And D00 means no deuterations. 00 means no deuteration, and no deuteration here. In this case, the resistivity data is just the same, identical one. And at low temperatures, resistivity decreases, and superconductivity appears. And with the progressive deuterations, 1-1, 1-1, and 2-2-3-3, when you increase the number of deuterations, the system gets to the feature of the insulating, because this crossover temperatures, non-metal to metal crossover temperatures decreases, and finally, in D44 crystals, the system is insulating, so more transitions occurs in this material. So here I'd like to emphasize that the molecular system is quite sensitive to pressure, physical pressure and chemical pressure, because the molecular packing is due to the van der Waals interactions. So that is the one of the advantage to use the molecular solids in the study called electron correlation study physics. This is the overall phase diagram. Okay. And this the horizontal axis U over W and temperature here. So this is this line running along the vertical directions is a motor boundaries, and the electron is delocalized here and localized here, motor insulator and the metal, and at low temperatures superconductivity appears. And this nature of the superconductivity is characterized by the NMR. Was NMR relaxation rate. You see no Hebel Swifter peak, and temperature dependence is TQ. So this is an indication of the Reinhold superconductivity in this material, the superconductivity. And in this side, in the other side, namely the modern insulating side, the charge are freeze, and the spins are alive at high temperature, but low temperatures, the almost all systems with anisotropic triangular lattice have the commensurate magnetic ordering. And this is the NMR spectra. One example, you see four distinct peak. This is an indication of the commensurate ordering of the spins. And we analyzed the this lines, and this is we confirmed that this line profile was consistent with the simplest spin configurations. Spins are on the one spins on a dimer, and this dimer spins forms the very simplest commensurate structure. So this phase diagram spans the more very simple, more transition the phase diagram of the simple mode transition systems. And maybe I suppose the time is maybe running, my story is long, so I skip the overall features. This is a bit about it. The spin susceptibility of all of the members, and NMR relaxation rate, all of the members. The important point is when the system is far from the mode boundaries, the temperature dependence of the spin susceptibility is nearly constant. high voltage system, when as the system approaches to the boundaries, the higher temperature susceptibility is constant, but the low temperature decrease is becomes prominent as the system approaches the mode boundaries. Maybe this is can be related to the a kind of a pseudo gap, I think. But this system crosses the mode boundaries and the insulator, mode insulator here, mode insulator here. And you see the high temperature susceptibility is not so different, but low temperature susceptibility is progressively depressed.
So these are all ambient pressure data.
Ambient pressure data.
And so the compound which is closer to the mode boundary is the bromide compound,
yeah,
in that case. TC is about 40 Kelvin, the end point of the mode line, right? About 40 Kelvin.
Maybe deuterated bromide case and 12.3 kelvins.
For the endpoint of the mod line?
Sorry, you're asking about the endpoint.
Talking about the
TC.
Not the superconducting.
Ah.
The endpoint of the
I'm not sure. I don't know because the bromide is not.
Oh yeah, I don't know, of course.
Okay. And we measure the NMR spectra, NMR line, and deuterated for the deuterated systems. And this systems has some phase separations of the metallic states and multi-insulated system. And this phase separation starts around 30 Kelvin. So maybe critical point, maybe 30 Kelvin, around 30 Kelvin.
But in any case, so the onset of the spin pseudo gap that you see here is at the highest there.
Yeah. I don't know the origin. I have no idea about
it. Is the daylight temperature much smaller than J? Or is
yeah, one order smaller.
More
smaller.
So maybe that could be J.
J is estimated from the susceptibility is temperature independent, but the U over T square over U, then maybe the order of 100 Kelvin was several hundred Kelvin. Nail order is 27 Kelvins. And this uptown is due to the spin counting, small counting of the anti-ferromagnetic order spins. But this anti-ferromagnetic order was confirmed by NMR spectra. So there's a weak ferromagnetism is due to the small spin counting. Okay, I skipped the explanation of the NMR.
This configuration you showed on two transparencies ago.
This one?
The one before this? It's actually that. It's the square lattice nail state that you get.
Yes, and this is this material is the anisotropy of 0.75. So the a kind of square lattice. So the.
I mean, you just get it. So what I mean is, yeah, yeah. One axis.
Yeah.
That's really
yes, this square lattice here maybe. But in this case, anisotropy is 0.75. So not in the transfer integral sense, no square lattice, but. An isotopic triangle lattice. The spin configuration is the same as the scale lattice.
At the first order transition like this, does the lattice constant change?
Should be.
Reachable amount? But is that something you can see or not? I mean,
and should be. If C that as a function of pressure, the pressure experiment should be done. No data.
No data.
But and some materials, for example, this material is the closest to the MOT crossover lines. Across this temperatures, lattice constants changes. But not dramatically, but this is a crossover, so some continuous change. But large change. It was reported by German group.
So the X-ray and the pressure has not been done?
To my knowledge, not been done.
To my knowledge.
This is a global picture of the specific heat gamma, chi, and low temperature extrapolation, extrapolated values of 1 over T and T, as a function of a kind of U over W. And so you see the constant and the gamma is depressed, and susceptibility is also depressed, and 1 over T and T is depressed. So no enhancement, such a Like a Brinkman-Lice enhancement, no enhancement. Sorry.
Magnitude is
the
bandwidth?
Yes. Magnitude. Yes. Bandwidth is a 0.4 or point around 0.3 or 4, maybe.
Which temperature is gamma measured
at? This values? Low temperature, extrapolation. So maybe the experiments are performed to the helium-3 temperature, so 0.3 Kelvin. And the magnetic field, under the high magnetic field, killing superconductivity.
High magnetic field to kill the
superconductivity, yeah.
And this is the
load. Yes. But this chi and chi was performed about 1 tesla, which cannot kill the superconductivity. So this value is extrapolated at higher from higher temperatures. How about this? And next, I'd like to pursue the criticality of this the motor boundaries, and here. So this is our first subject of this seminar. Introduction is already I spent 40. Okay, what is the criticality of motor transition? And motor transition is a kind of one of the phase transitions. So criticality is one subject, of course. To my knowledge, maybe Castellani et al. First pointed out that the motor transition has a similar as an analogy with the gas liquid transition. And then main researchers are working on these topics. And recently, Georgi and those Georgis and Katulia and so on, and developed the DFT series, and which is very successful to explain the motor transition. And then this intuitive picture was quantitatively confirmed by these calculations. And then these motor transitions can be viewed as a fluid of double occupancies and holes. So if so, this criticality should belong to the same university class of the easing strength. This is a theoretical background. But what is the criticality? This is a textbook a picture. The gas rigid systems, in gas rigid systems and temperature, pressure, and volume. Volume is a kind of the order parameter in this rigid gas systems. And this rigid gas systems jump is observed in textbook pictures. And then this phase transition has a critical endpoint here, critical point here. And spin systems, so the parameter is magnetization. In this case, this is a critical temperature, critical point here. And to characterize these criticality, usually you have many critical exponents, but a very simple three exponents, which easily can be obtained in experiments, is exponents beta and delta and gamma. For example, in the spin analogy, spin systems are the susceptibility, this is a derivative, is divergent in these directions around this temperature. And the magnetization is characterized by delta, this divergence, and jump characterized by beta. Yes. So such a characterization, we'd like to perform such a characterization, experimental characterization. But the point, an important issue is what is the other parameter in motor transition systems? But I introduced that the theoretical studies, this is a kind of the double occupancies and holes, the fluid of the double occupancies and holes. So double occupancies and holes are quite are strongly coupled to the conductivity. So conductivity measurements, conductivity can be a order parameter, which is discussed in the paper of the Cotoria or Georges, and we measured the resistivity or conductivity as a function of temperature and pressure. Okay. This is the experimental method. to pursue the critical behavior along these regions, we have to vary the pressure at low temperature. This is not easy business because usually we apply pressure at room temperature, and the pressure medium usually oil, and then sample is cooled. Then oil is cooled at low temperature, so oil is frozen. So hydrostatic pressure cannot obtained at low temperatures, because if you try to press our system at low temperatures, the oil is frozen. So hydrostatic pressure cannot be obtained. So we have to use the fluid as a pressure medium at low temperatures. So only one medium is the helium gas. So we put the sample to the helium gas pressures, and then the sample is cooled, and we press at low temperature. So we can access in these directions to the critical regions by this method. And by this method, recently, several experimental results available. For example, the sonic study, NMR, SDKI, resistivity measurements. However, to my knowledge, no clear critical behavior is not yet seen. So this is the data. Resistance here, temperature here, and pressure here. So this is a low data of the resistance. And at low pressure region, resistance goes up in non-metallic behavior here, Morton slider. And at high pressures, you see resistance decreases, metallic behaviors. So Morton slider and metallic. And these two states are meets intermediate pressures, but associated with a huge jump, resistance jump, nearly two orders of magnitude resistance jump. This means the mode transition is already surely the second order, first order transition. Yeah. And second important point is this first order transition, resistance jump, vanishes at a finite critical temperature. And this is has a phenomenological resemblance of the liquid gas or easing spin system. So at first glance, this criticality of the mode transition into divergence seems to have the similar criticality to the liquid gas or easing spins. And to characterize this criticality, we made some analysis of the data. And this is the phase diagram, temperature, pressure. And resistance jump occurs here, and resistance jump vanishes on this temperature, the critical temperature, the crossover here. And superconductivity and park rated SC. By park rated SC, I mean that this fall, like a waterfall, is maybe due to some park rated superconductivity, maybe due to inhomogeneity, I think. But I'm not sure.
Why do you think that? Or is it just regular superconductivity?
Regular superconductivity here. And this is a very tiny super, because the NMR measurements are available in French groups, and French groups are measured at low pressure range. Almost all volume is antiferromagnetically ordered state. So this resistance, maybe resistance drop is due to the small filaments of the superconducting portion, I think. Okay, to characterize the critical point, we took the pressure derivative of resistance, logarithmic derivative of the resistance. And you see for example, at 42 Kelvin. 42 Kelvin is this range, this region, crossover region. When the system crosses this critical crossover region, the pressure derivative shows some max. And if the system is closest to the critical point, this divergence, maximum is closest and divergent if the system closest to the critical point. So this divergence means that it's some, surely some criticality is occurs around this temperature. And
can I just ask about this crossover, the reaction first of the phase transition? Usually, I thought the slope is one way because insulators have more entropy compared to metal. So therefore, when you heat up, should go from metal to insulator.
You were saying about this?
Yes, that's correct. But
this one?
Yeah. Uh-huh. The more temperature spans over.
There is entropy.
Interesting question.
There is some discussions on that because we draw the magnetic order line here, but a magnetic order in here, like this one. And then we perform the carbon 30 NMR at ambient pressures. And magnetic order occurs around here, but at higher temperatures. Very short range order occurs. But some dynamic measurements cannot give some peak because the some short range order occurs at higher temperatures, so the spin entropy dies already at higher temperatures. So I think that the ordering temperature here, but in these regions, maybe short range spin orders occur, so spin entropy dies away. Yes. And then finally, I'd like to go back to these topics and we are now constructing the similar phase diagram by using the spin rigid phase. In this case, there's no short range ordering. In this case, this boundary does not go back and simply go. And my students are repeated experiments by using different crystals. And this is the, and he at first convinced the reproducibility about the reproducibility of the data. And this is a typical data, conductance and pressure, temperature. He got the several data, and all of the data is essentially the same. And this is temperature, pressure, and low pressure region here, and high pressure region here. And in this low pressure region, conductivity is quite low, molten is right here, and metallic region here. So you see the jump conductivity, like the resistivity jump, as in the resistivity jump. And the critical point you can easily identify. So to characterize the exponent in this case, to extract the beta, namely the jump of the compressibility or the spontaneous magnetization is corresponding to this quantities. This green line is analyzed, and to extract the data, the delta, namely magnetization curve on the critical temperature, this curve is used, and then to extract the gamma in analogy with in the spin susceptibilities, we analyze the peak values. Peak value is this blue graph is a pressure derivative of along these lines, okay, and then temperatures approaches to these critical temperatures around 40 kelvins, and this is a critical point here, and this divergence characterizes the gamma. And this is the low data. So gamma is obtained to about is 0.9 in this sample. And this data are on the straight line, this logarithmic scales. And delta is given as an 1.9 in these materials. And this two data shows the dependence of the dependence of the data analysis depending on the choice of the critical threshold, critical temperature. So in the vicinity, just vicinity of the critical pressures, there is an uncertainty of the exponent. But at maybe except the just vicinity of the critical point, the data is no dependence on the parameter choice. And this is the beta. Beta is given as a 0.0. So we characterize the exponent like this. And these values is quite unusual because this is our data. And this is the two-dimensional. The values expected in the two-dimensionalizing model, one of eight, and quite different. So at first stage, we are very suspicious about our data. But OK. And this difference is further contrasted and compared with the exponent extracted in the three-dimensional material recently obtained in V2O3, now Limlet and George's co-workers. And the values is experimentally determined values are 0.513. This is in good agreement with the mean field values. But in the vicinity, they determine the exponent in the vicinity of the transitions, and the values is quite consistent with the expectation in the three-dimensionalizing values. Please look at again, these values are completely different. So we are upset. But my students, what we should do was check the reproducibility of the data. So my students made lengthy experiments for 1 hour, 1.5 years. And the exponent is within these uncertainties. This is what he found. And then we have several reasons to this exponent can be extrinsic. First one is the scaling relation is fulfilled in this if you use these values. And then if this if you use this scaling values, the all of the data is for on the two scaling functions. So this is the scaling analysis on one sample, where we use the delta, these beta, gamma, these values. So we also checked in another samples, and this is the different samples, and also the data are on the two scaling functions. So this is the conclusion of my first talk. First of the transition with a critical endpoint is confirmed. And around the endpoint, the experimental finding is the conductivity shows critical behavior. And unusual critical exponents are obtained. And they satisfy the scaling relations. And all data are on the two scaling functions. So these experimental findings possibly suggest that the MOTS transition in two dimension belongs to our new university class, but this is an ongoing problem, I think. And before I go to next topics, one experiment is this is a field in this MOTS transition. If you tune the system just vicinity the MOTS boundaries, and the state is still metallic, and you apply magnetic field. So the system undergoes first order mode transition. and large hysteresis. So this is the maybe first observation of the field-induced mode transition in very simple systems.
Sorry, for zero field, we never saw hysteresis.
Yeah, hysteresis. First order transition.
Only in finite field.
No. On zero field.
Okay.
Completely zero field. Okay. Next, I'm moving to the.
You have a sample which have a different interlayer coupling. I mean, very different interlayer coupling, and you do this analyze of this first critical point.
Different interlayer coupling.
Yeah, I'm concerned about whether this
as a function of pressure, you're saying.
I'm worried about whether what you observe has a mixing of a 2D, 3D crossover. I wonder whether there's a possibility. So, which one may say, when I have a two different sample with different anisotropy, then to check, do you still get the same exponent?
I'm not sure. I don't know. But this mode transition is two-dimensional or three-dimensional is fundamental physics. I don't yet understand the importance of the dimensionality because this system is quite highly two-dimensional and transfer integral. To the C-axis transfer integral. C-axis means out of plane transfer integral is estimated by some magnet resistance measurements and then estimated to be about 0.4 or 0.5 milli electron volt.
Oh,
yeah, it's equivalent to the maybe one or several kelvin, I think. So the critical point is exists on the 40 kelvins. So this is the situation, but I'm not sure in this case, just on the critical point, the phase transition should be three-dimensional, two-dimensional. I don't know. How do we think it?
Empirically, what happens to C-axis resistivity across the mode?
Not yet. You are saying that the criticality, how is the criticality along the C-axis.
Does anything happen to the C-axis resistivity?
Usually almost all systems are similar temperature dependence, in-plane resistivity and out-of-plane resistivities.
Right.
In many systems.
The C-axis also goes from insulating to metallic.
And jumps.
Yeah. Jumps, yes. But in this case, the other But pressure study, to my knowledge, no pressure study, no C-axis, no pressure study of C-axis resistivity,
yes.
Maybe to my knowledge.
Well, there was some in our study that they were not that respected. I just want to make a comment about this business of dimensionality. Before discussing dimensionality, there is a question of how we choose the scaling axis at the critical point when doing the analysis, right? We had some email exchange about that. And in V2O3, it just turned out that the scaling axes are very ones. One is just temperature, the other one seems to be just pressure. In that case, the spinodal lines have definitely an angle in the phase diagram. So I wonder if you turn the scaling axis around, how will that change?
Yeah. I discussed, stimulated by your comment by email, I discussed this possibility, this problem with my students. And unfortunately, the data are on the two lines. So using these curves as an empirical or resistance curve, we can analyze the arbitrary axes. Okay. So and my students are. Gave us preliminary exponents. For example, he did just a moment. Very heavy data. So he analyzed in these directions.
Yes.
Delta is. In this direction, delta is about 2. And in this direction, the delta is 1.8 or 1.9. Not so dependent, not so changed. So, well, I'm not sure that the result. So parameter mixing is a very important point, I think. But maybe this unusual exponent can be recovered to the usual values by choosing the appropriate axis, I think.
So the other sort of look more meaningful-ish, really.
Sorry?
Yeah, I think if you have
long-range
Coulomb interactions, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe so it affects
longer mean-field retains, which could.
Mean-field value is 3, 2.
Sorry.
That's what we measure.
In two dimensions, yes.
There is no reason, I mean, there is no theory to claim that this transition should be just 2D-izing rather than mean-field-izing.
I'd like to hear about this thing.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to say also you say that no theory in two-dimensional mode transition. I think no reason why that this exponent should correspond to the mean field or to region. The dimensionality of the two is very important, I think. Okay. Oops. And we are concentrating. We were concentrating so far to these materials, the anisotropic trivial lattice and what criticality here. And next talk is on this one. This is also the Mott insulator, and but the T prime over T, where the T prime over T is nearly unity. So this is the nearly isotropic trivial lattice. This is the susceptibility. The data was shown compared with comparison with this anisotropic case, and this isotropic case shows the data is this open blue circles. This is the data, and this is the data of the anisotropic case in anti-Fermanic transition here, and the spin counting gives a big field magnetism here. And then one important point is this susceptibility is paramagnetic down to the lowest temperature, 2 Kelvin in this case. But susceptibility shows a very broad peak here. And this is roughly fitted by the triangular lattice Heisenberg model, partly expert approximations. And this red line or some blue triangles is analysis the fitted curves using the PADE 66 or 77 models. But the overall feature is rather consistent. But and then we can extrapolate the J, the value of J. J is 250 kelvins. However, system is paramagnetic, down to 2 Kelvin. And we proceeded to the NMR measurements.
This model have a phase transition in triangular lattice?
No.
This purple line is supposed to be a model, so that should be
from the temperature. So the model.
So they did that kind of temperature. Okay,
yeah, that's much we know.
But this Heisenberg model is not the appropriate model for this material, this important, because this system is very close to the Mott transition system. So the material should be described with a Hubbard model, not Heisenberg model. Yeah, that is a problem. But this is a first trial to get J. And this is the NMR data down to 32 millikelvin, very low temperatures. And you see, this proton NMR, you see two peaks. Two peaks is comes from the nuclear-nuclear dipole interaction, so does not contain electronic information. And this line is tells us that this no magnetic ring at high temperatures. But if you see, you can see this line shape does not change down to 32 millikelvin. So no magnetic, no long range. You see, the, if the magnetic ordering occurs, the NMR spectra changes like this. And this is an anisotropic case. Chloride compounds shows antiferromagnetic ordering around 27 Kelvin. So you see spectra, but drastically changes like this. The NMR spectra, the position of NMR spectra is it corresponds to the magnetic field, which nuclei feel. So in this position and this position corresponds to the applied magnetic field. But below 27 kelvins, you see several spots. Several spots means some additional minus magnetic field and plus magnetic field. Several internal magnetic field is generated. That is a clear evidence of the magnetic ring here. But in this case, no magnetic ring down to 32 millikelvin.
You don't see this two peak structure on the...
Yeah. This is the difference between the field orientations. This NMR spectra, the shape is very sensitive to the magnetic field orientation because this spectral shape is due to this nuclear-nuclear dipole interactions. So if we apply magnetic field here, and this shape is depends on this the angle between this field and this the direction of the two nuclei, this theta. And we apply magnetic field perpendicular to the layer, conducting layer. However, in the conducting layer, the ET molecules are inclined depending on the materials. So it is reflected on this difference, the shape. No electronic information is contained in the shape.
Can you get the susceptibility from the night shift here,
by hypercoupling? No, in this case, proton NMR has very small hyperfine coupling constant. So we cannot extract the night shift at high temperature in proton NMR. But carbon 30 NMR, last month, my PhD students performed, and the large night shift obtained at high temperature, so scaled to the, which is scaled to.
Worry, the previous data didn't have any spin gap, so you think
it's a
spin gap at lower temperature?
Yeah, that is a very complicated and a very difficult problem because I show you later this at low temperatures. And we magnetic field induces especially varying small moment. Small, so NMR spectra is spread at finite magnetic field. Okay, the story is complicated. So, okay. And finally, I'd like to come back to this.
Squid measurements,
yes. This one? Yes. And your question is this susceptibility is dies or not. That's the problem. My tentative answer at this stage is the susceptibility is continuously decreases. However, later. But you see, if you look a closer look of the data at low temperature, this spectra shows very slight tails at low temperatures. You see, this is a plot of the half maximum. As a function of temperature. Very slight broadening, of course. Very slight. 2 kilohertz is resolution of the NMR spectra. Very slow. So
the relaxation rate should be very directly telling you whether there's a gap or not.
Yeah, no gap. Later, I'd like to show. Yeah. So. And this is the, so to see the nature of the broadening, to see the nature of the broadening, at, we performed carbon 30 NMR. And carbon 30 NMR, by carbon 30 NMR, we pick up the magnetic field very sensitive manner, in a very sensitive manner, because the hyperfine coupling constant is quite large. You see, these spectra are broadened at low temperature. The spectra was taken at a field of 8 Tesla. This broadening, of course. So this suggests that the NMR broadening surely occurs due to the electronic origins. And continuously broadened, which means that the spatially broadening moment is generated at this magnetic field, 8 Tesla. And we performed the field dependence of the spectra and magnetic field. And this is a half widths, spectral widths. And you see, this very strong field dependence, like linear manner, above, at least above 2 Tesla. And for example, this is at the 1.6 Kelvin data and 2.8 Kelvin for 4.8 Kelvin. But all of the data are nearly converges at zero magnetic field. And this width is explained by the natural nuclear dipole interactions. So at a zero magnetic field, maybe broadening is should be absent. And mu SL experiments is also available by Rick and Glut. And they confirmed that at zero magnetic field, no internal magnetic field. So this results, these results indicate that the at zero magnetic field, the no magnetic ordering. However, at finite magnetic field, spatially bearing in a continuous manner, the bearing moment is generated. But I don't know. I'm not sure about the such a pattern, the pattern of the moment, or spiral, or staggered, or I don't know. But
what's the reasoning that leads you to conclude that that broad line shape means it's spatially inhomogeneous?
Inhomogeneous, yes.
What's the reasoning? Where do you ascribe that to spatially?
Spatial means this is a thin crystal data. So, and if you obtain if you have the commensurate antiferromagnetic ordering, the NMR spectra should split it, like the previous data, previous proton data, like this. But in this case, continuously broadened. This is the spatially inhomogeneous state. And second important point is this line and this shape is symmetry about the origins. So this contains a positive shift and negative shift. But this systems, we can rotate magnetic field to all of the line should have the positive shift, night shift in the paramagnetic state. Then if this broadening should be due to the paramagnetic inhomogeneity, for example, some disorder or like this, the broadening should be one-sided shift. But in this, still in this case, broadening is on both sides. Negative shift is generated, negative magnetic field is generated. So this is a clear indication of the origin is a moment, a kind of moment, and especially bearing in a continuous manner. An important point is field dependent. If the antiferromagnetic ordered state, usual in the antiferromagnetically ordered state, this broadening should not be dependent on magnetic field. Constant, should be constant.
So if you lower the field strength, this peak gets
narrow? Narrow, and yes, narrow and narrow.
And so another thing I'm confused here. So
since AMR is very slow probe, so you can only, so this is a spatial variable, my name should be pretty static.
Pretty static, yes.
So what is the time scale here, like millisecond, nanosecond?
NML, yeah. NML probe is in this case below several kilohertz.
Several kilohertz.
Yes. And then we also performed the T2 measurements. Right. T2 means some pick up the only dynamical, but okay. T2 width is quite small. In also in this case, like in the yesterday's talk. So this means this is all nearly static. Yes.
So the finite magnetic field almost induces a static spatial variation.
Yes. And no phase transition-like behavior. For example, the divergence of the divergence of T2 or the well-defined temperature of the broadening gradually static moment induces. Sorry.
Is there a critical field?
In this case, no critical field, at least 2 kelvins. But I'm not sure about the in the spin gap phases, there should be some critical field. But in this case, later I'd like to show you no spin gap, and gapless spin liquid can be gapless spin liquid. So I'm not sure about this is inconsistent or not. Okay, this is a NMR relaxation rate, and proto NMR relaxation rate. At the problem is that NMR measurements should have to be done in at a finite magnetic field, so we cannot perform the zero field NMR relaxation rate. We always apply magnetic field. And first, this is the typical data of the antiferromagnetic ordering, observing the anisotropic triangular lattice. You see the sharp peak around 27 kelvin antiferromagnetic ordering. And this is a triangular lattice case, no anomalies. However, there is a minimum, shows a minimum around 4 kelvin or so. I'm not sure, I don't know about the origin, but the there is a possibility that around these temperatures, the moment is increasingly generated. But I'm not sure. And then relaxation rate is flat. No such a peak. And then below 0.5 kelvin, relaxation curve, this is a relaxation curve, is inhomogeneous. At high temperatures, nearly straight lines. Straight line means relaxation is homogeneous in the whole sample. But below 1.5 kelvin, inhomogeneous. So we fitted the two exponentials by two exponentials, and then this is a resultant relaxation rate. But this is only the characterization of the relaxation rate. And if you look at the temperature dependence of the two components, is first one is T-linear, and second one is square temperature dependence. And anyway, no activation-like behavior. But in this case, we applied magnetic field of 2 tesla. So small moment should be induced. So in this condition, with the data. But anyway, down to 0.5 kelvins, relaxation rate still remains high. So no spin gap behaviors. If you fit the data above 5 kelvins, this data can be fitted to the activation line, and the gap energy is 10 kelvin.
The range is bigger than shifting the magnetic order.
This magnetic order here.
So if I go to 5 kelvin and compare the two materials, it's still bigger. Is that significant?
This bigger?
Yeah.
Yeah, bigger. It's significant.
So, I mean, you're comparing apples and apples. Right?
No,
comparable,
yeah.
So how about the charge gap? This model has a charge gap.
And in these systems, the charge gap is determined by very small, 20 milli-electron volt or so.
200 milli-electron
volt. No. 20 milli-electron volt. So, or lower. Over the order of the room temperature.
I see. That's, do you see the activation behavior of the transform at the lower temperature?
Yeah.
That's from there.
Yes, but yes, yes.
So 200.
But almost all samples, the data is fitted to the higher temperature range, but low temperature regions, all of the data of this system and this system is not on the activated manner, but I'm not sure. Because
so low temperature resistive is not active?
Below 50 Kelvin or so, maybe.
Below 50? No.
Yeah, or 30, 50 Kelvin, several 10 Kelvin.
If you actually move to the metallic side of the sample,
yeah.
First of all, is there like still two relaxation rate, and secondly, is actually linear in two?
Yes.
You actually have NMR data.
Yeah, you're asking the NMR relaxation rate.
Yeah.
The temperature dependence.
The pressure.
And is there actually NMR data?
Under pressure.
Like a part of the phase diagram for this system.
No, under pressure for but they also measured it. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. This is the first I showed it in the beginning of my talk and very anomalous and just a moment. This one. Okay, this is NMR relaxation rate, 1 over T1T. And the metallic system is here. So 1 over T1T is a constant and the no material dependence. Metallic and molten insulator shows the same temperature dependence. Because the molten gap is quite small, very small, so all the charge and spin occupied. So. But system is crude. In the molten insulating case, the growth of the antiferromagnetic fluctuation is continues to grow and forms antiferromagnetic cloud here, and also this here. However, the metallic sample shows some crossover here, consistent with the crossover in the resistance behavior. And then 1 over T1T is depressed. And this is maybe, can be some pseudo gap like, but this is a problem, the subject. This is the expanded things. And the system, this system is far from the motor boundary, the metallic, good metal. In this case, 1 over T1T is nearly constant, collingual relations. But as the system approaches the boundaries, this temperature dependence is gradually becomes anomalous. And then when the system crosses the motor boundary, the behavior is divergent. So this is maybe a kind of the growth of the behavior as a function of pressure. But really, we replaced all the anion, but as a kind of pressure is a parameter. We are approaching the final. Okay, this is.
Looks like
40 pages again. Sorry. Oh no. This is the. I stop around here. Okay. Such a spin liquid-like behavior is can be discussed in several scenarios and several contexts, but here is one scenario given by the Imada's group. So Imada calculated the Hadron model on this anisotropic rectangular lattice, and the parameter is U over T versus T prime over T, and this line is a Mott transition. Lines. So charges are melted here and metal, and charges are freeze here, localized here. However, what they predicted is the even when the charge are localized, but spin is not localized in the vicinity of the transition here. And then and charge your spin orders occurs in the separate lines. And this material is located here. So this is one scenario to
consider. Localized means attracting mass became large, but there's no gap.
No, charge gap is present.
Is
present. Motto is right here. First order transition here. But in any case, from the experimental point of view, I'd like to emphasize that this material is close to the Motto transition, so should be described by Hubbard model. This spin gap has several gap-like behavior in several contexts. For example, the Heisenberg model like this, but there is a possibility that the crucial point is the feature of the Hubble measure.
Would you want to put the dot closer to the AFI? It's not so far from the ordered state.
Yeah, ordered state is positioned like this. So not consistent in this case, in this B graphs. So if the consistent, in order to explain our data of the two materials consistently, their line should be like this. But I'm not sure. And under pressure, we apply magnetic pressure to these materials. And this is the resistance as a function of temperature, ambient pressure here. And then this system gets metallic behavior around 3.5 kilobar or 4 kilobar around here. And then metallic states appears. And then this is a first order transition at 4 kilobar. But if you apply pressure further, this first order transition becomes rounded, and namely converted into crossover behaviors. And then and resistance curve becomes smooth. This is very similar to the anisotropic familiar lattice case. And at low temperature, you see superconductivity appears in this triangular lattice. And we pursued NMR spectra during pressure applications. This is a typical data, the ambient pressure. But this is a powder data. No change, as I showed you. So no magnetic growing. And 3 kilobar, at this 3.5 kilobar, at this pressure, the system just changes to the metallic state. However, no change of the spectra. This means the magnetic order is absent even under pressure.
Sorry, can you show the previous transparency?
Yes.
Which resistivity
curve? Yes.
So it's between the green and the blue
curve? Yes, green to blue. So what was the pressure on the next view graph?
This one and this one. And we also observed all of the data. Of course, in the metallic state, the line shape does not change. And at all of the pressures, no change. So pick up the two typical data at pressures in the insulating region. This is the NMR relaxation rate. At ambient pressure, NMR relaxation rate behaves like this, and as I showed before. But under pressures, this behavior is converted to this Collingwood relations. 1 over T1 is proportional to T. And under higher pressures, this linearity is gradually depressed. So fluctuation effects or density of states are depressed. This is the plot is different, but the data is the same. 1 over T1T process temperature. So this is the ambient pressure data. And at higher pressure,
one of T1T nearly the constant correlation behavior. And at 3.5 kilobar, we observed two phases, insulating phases and metallic phases, phase separations, because this pressure system is on the border of the transitions. And the transition is first order, so the data contains the two, that NMR signal comes from two phases, you know, insulating phase and metallic phases. So this shows the.
Sorry, I thought at ambient pressure, there were two relaxation rates. One of them was one of the T1 going like 80 T, and the other is T.
At low temperatures, below.
At a very low
Very low temperature, below 0.5 kelvins. So this is a last bigger conclusion on my second topic. So it's no indication of long range order down to 32 millikelvin, in spite of the J is J of the 250 kelvin. And magnetic field induces inhomogeneity of some moment. But this moment is a special bearing, staggered or spiral or spin glass. And USR experiments showed no magnetic moment at zero magnetic field. So we concluded at least zero magnetic field, spin rigid state is realized in these systems. And then spin rigid phase neighbors of film rigid and possibly superconducting phase at low magnetic field. And our NMR data were performed under 2 tesla. 2 tesla kills the completely superconductivity. So at present, the superconductivity was explored only by the resistivity measurements. But in future, we plan to use a single crystal and apply magnetic field parallel to the planes. And then we hope to extract the superconducting property of these phases. And this is the conceptual or phase diagram, but because the data are limited, only the discrete pressures. But this is the overall feature. Maybe this film leakage to spin leakage, this is a metal inside the transition, is first order at low pressure, low temperatures, and superconductive here. And this first order transition will end around 20 kelvin, a low temperature compared with the anisotropic trigger lattice. In the previous material, the critical temperature is around 40 kelvin. Oh. And then and crossover region at higher temperatures. OK, we can pursue this anomalous insulating state with spin fluctuations and the formulated metallic state and superconducting state in single materials as a function of pressure. Or if you use the uniaxial pressures, we make access these lines. The T pi over T is also changed. So magnetic ordering appears in some area. So this is our future plan of research. Thank you.
If the resistivity versus temperature is not really activated behavior, whether one can say maybe there's no charge gap in steam liquid, I just want how firm we think there's a charge gap or what's the story about it? Well, does steam liquid really have a charge gap?
From experimental point of view,
yeah.
I have never seen that the clear activated temperature dependence of resistivity in the molten insulating states. Maybe in our data, maybe in how about the French group's data?
At very low.
Very low temperature.
For the compounds which correspond to the very low pressure, so to speak, the ones which are really deep in the insulating phase, there you see an activated behavior.
Yeah.
But I think the problem of that compound is that it's actually pretty close
to
not insulating.
Yes.
Transition region.
Yes.
Isn't the transition first order?
Right, so as a function of temperature, you have lots of cosmological and that blurs the.
But internal pressure homogeneity can be, because if the, for example, the we have to take an electric contact. To take a contact, we have to gold wire. We attach the gold wire to the samples by using some paste. Okay. The construction of the paste is different from the sample. So such a inevitable pressure homogeneity can be present. So that is can be a reason. So I'm not sure that such a non-activated behavior is intrinsic or not. But in my opinion, there is a possibility that there is that is intrinsic. But I'm not sure because related to this. You see, this percolated superconductivity. So this means that sample contains some high pressure regions, very small tiny. So this is the origin of the non-activated behaviors, depressed behavior. That is a candidate.
I want to return the question that Chimio asked. I'm not sure I got a clear answer. So the other modules of it, which is magnetic order, so you have the table of all the compounds.
Yeah.
So and, the one that's not a spin liquid, which is
this one.
That one.
This one.
Second one. Yeah. What is the magnetic order structure? Is it collinear or is it spiral or what?
Collinear. Nearly collinear, and only slightly canted.
Okay.
Point, that angle is estimated from the magnetization measurements, and maybe 0.2 degree, very small canting, and essentially collinear. Mm-hmm.
That's presumably because T prime is small, I guess. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay.
We've already had a lot of questions, and maybe we should just thank the speaker again.